Welcome to the Male Fertility Podcast, a podcast designed to help, support and educate men as they go through their own fertility struggles. Hi, I'm Kieran.
And I'm Sean. And we'll do that by sharing our stories of what we went through, as well as having guests share their knowledge and experience. Right, let's get into today's episode.
So, here we are. Again.
We're the only ones that are going to get this joke, mate.
Definitely. I know. Well, just to give that some background. So this is an introductory episode. We're just here to talk about, like, kind of announce us as a new podcast, talk about what we're here for. But this isn't the first time we've done this. We've had quite a few technological issues leading up to now. Probably the fourth or fifth time we've recorded this now.
Yeah, it's got to be the fifth.
What was it they say? Lucky number five, right?
Lucky number five. Well, we're nearly a minute in and nothing's gone wrong so far. So I think we just crack on and it will be fine.
Absolutely. But right, well, this is it. Let's introduce ourselves. We're finally here. This is the one that's going out. I can feel it in my bones. But like we said in the very start of the podcast, that introductory message says that we are here to talk about all things male fertility. And it's an important message to get out there. So I suppose we should talk about how it came about, really.
Yeah. I mean, it was February early this year. I kind of contacted you about something completely, not completely different, but we weren't thinking about a podcast in the initial message. I actually think it was, I came with the idea about meeting up in the gym and recording it and talking about our fertility journeys. And I kind of, as we were discussing it, I was like, well, I've always wanted to do a podcast. I'm going to ask Sean. And I asked you and you said yes. And it's kind of been a road to get to this point, but that's when it started, on a sunny day in February this year. I remember it really clearly, actually, and it doesn't seem long ago, but a lot's happened since then, because we're both really keen on getting a podcast out there that people can really relate to and that it's high quality and something that people can use and is beneficial. And I think we're there now. We've taken our time. And like, you know, I know we've had a joke about, you know, a few things have gone wrong technically. But we've also been making sure it's right before we put it out. I think we're there now. We're at the foot, aren't we? We're at the foot of the mountain, as they say, ready to go.
Absolutely. Well, you know all about mountains. You went up to base camp, didn't you, of Everest for fertility, for men's fertility. So,
that was a great
analogy.
Great trip, mate. I'm sure we'll cover it at some point. I would really like to.
Definitely, get all the chaps on.
Yeah, that would be great. I think they'd come on. I think they'd really like to kind of reminisce about the cold and the hills. But more about why we went, and that's why we're doing this, isn't it, mate? To kind of to raise that awareness of male infertility, to break the stigma around it, and just be kind of that familiar voice for men going through journeys similar to us that we went through. That's probably a good point to kind of briefly discuss kind of our own journeys very briefly, so people understand a little bit more of our background. But I know we're going to cover it in later episodes, but I think it'd be good for listeners just to hear it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the thing, like, you've already touched upon the fact that it's taken a long time to get here, but actually that when you partner that with fertility in general, it's always a long process, and we can both relate to that, can't we? I mean, my journey, for example, stretched 4 years, and that, so my wife and I started trying in 2017. In early 2018, I was diagnosed with azoospermia, which is, I had zero sperm. And quite frankly, that's it's a life-changing word. It was a life-changing moment the day I got told I had that. And it just, that really then just thrust me into this whole new world and a lot of pain, a lot of shame as well. And like you said, the stigma as a man of being in that, in this new world I didn't want to be in. And what didn't help is that when I looked around, when I searched online, when I spoke to the urologist, the doctors that I was speaking to, no one knew of any other men talking about this. I couldn't find any online. And that's why now I feel a responsibility to go back and share my story and actually show that other men are not alone. I know you think the same. You know, we're both of the similar thinking in that there's like, what, 60 to 80 million people, what, men worldwide going through this.
Yeah.
And the importance is if more of us are talking, then it absolutely just erodes that message that of shame and of isolation, because it's not the case. And, you know, we're going, like you said, we're going to our stories in more detail down the line. But mine ended with a happy ending. I had my twins, Ray and Evelyn. Our twins, my lovely wife Jenna and I. You know, it takes two to tango and all that. But Ray and Evelyn came along in 2021, and everything changed for the better after that. And like I always say, I wouldn't change a single thing either after what we went through, because it took me where we were supposed to be, and that was becoming a donor recipient father, because we used donor sperm to get there in the end. I had a couple of operations, didn't work, and I wouldn't change those. I wouldn't change a single thing, because I was always meant to be their father, and that's exactly what I am. And that's why this podcast is so important to us. It's another way of getting that message out, which is key. And like you said, it's taken us 8 months to get here, but that's because we are so passionate about getting it right.
Yeah. I mean, I totally agree. I mean, so much that you've said there like resonates with my own feelings about what I experienced and the whole kind of male fertility world. I think it's fair to say that we had two very different experiences. We've come from two different complete angles, but what we talk about are similar things. We've had loads of discussions off air, and we've got to know each other pretty well, haven't we, mate? And so many times it's been like, oh yeah, I experienced that. I felt like that. And that's why we're doing this, isn't it? So I suppose I better mention a bit about where kind of my little journey and little journey. It was nearly 10 years, my journey.
Wow.
And it, from beginning to end, you know, from getting the diagnosis in 2011, 2012. I think it was January 2012, to my daughter being born, which was my second child, which ended the journey for me. But in a nutshell, I was diagnosed with male factor infertility in 2012 out of nowhere. Now, my wife had PCOS, and we knew that we were going to need some treatment. But I was right at the last minute tested just to make sure that we could go ahead. And I was told, you're infertile. You have a very low sperm count, low mobility, low morphology. And like you said, mate, it shakes your world. Absolutely shakes your world. And it was a very up and down journey for the next 5 years until my son Sebastian was born. And I look forward to telling that story because I learned a lot about myself. I learned a lot about the world at that point. But funnily enough, it didn't end once Sebi was born. It kind of, the mental struggles connected to it carried on. And I think people that I've spoken to who have had a similar story to me have experienced that as well, which is really interesting. But I wouldn't have known that unless people were talking. And, you know, you've said it, I'm going to say it again now. That's why we're doing this, to get talking and to let people know that they're not the only ones. And there are people out there that have been through this. I mean, we're in a lucky position now that we can sit back and we can, I wouldn't say reminisce about it, but we can look back and really process what's going on and pick it apart. Talk about the serious stuff, have chuckles about the funny stuff that happened, because we've talked about that as well. Several funny things happened along the way. But there are people out there experiencing it right now, and they need that support right now. So I just can't wait to really crack on and do that, so people can just log in, listen to us, and try and get that support that we both wish we had.
Yeah. That's it, mate. That's exactly it. And I'm so pleased that we are coming at it from different angles, but it's still in the same umbrella of male fertility. Because that's the thing. we all experience the same kind of the hardships and that trauma, that grief, and like you said, that shame and the stigma. But there are many different ways in which you get brought here. And the important overall message that we'll both be showing is that actually there is another side to it. And like you said as well, you almost get to like forensically analyze it when you look back and remember those times. Because of course there are times when you're in it and you can't see the wood through the trees because you're just shrouded in all this pain and this upset. And you don't know if it's ever going to end. And so for us, we can come back with that kind of the clearer story of what happened and what got us through it. Because, yeah, I'm 100% a different person, but for the better. For the better. And I'm stronger. And ultimately, not just a stronger and better man, but a stronger and better father now than I would have been had I not gone through this. And I'm almost, you know, grateful for what I've been through because it's changed me and it's given us the chance now to share how our perceptions change and what we did to get through it and share those kind of hints and tips and give people tools to put in their toolbox to help them through it as well.
Yeah. I mean, you talked about change. Like it changed me as a man. It really did. And it made me a better dad at the end of the day. It has made me a better father and made me a better husband, like without a doubt, because it puts strain. It puts strain on our relationship. And we're going to be talking about things like that through this podcast, specifically in the first series. We're really going to go into depth about us, aren't we, mate?
And yeah.
I think there were times when we really hit some rocky roads, me and Jen. And I know I've talked to people and a fertility journey is something that can easily really shatter a relationship. Not just physically, but also mentally. Like you feel like you're miles apart and you physically feel like you're miles apart as well. But I mean, that's just one topic we're going to be covering, isn't it? I mean, we're going to be looking and discussing, like you said, about the tips, lifestyle changes that we both made, how we were able to implement it into our lives, how we felt when we were doing them. I mean, I remember like giving up drinking for the first time and the looks and the responses I got from people that I thought were my mates, you know, relationships with other people changed, relationships with my family changed, you know, people didn't share the same view as I did. And I think it's a reoccurring theme when I talk to men, like they'll talk to their family about their fertility journey and they often don't get the response that they want. And it's hard to manage that and to understand that and how to process that yourself, let alone letting someone like your mum or your dad kind of process it themselves. But so many interesting topics to talk about and bring our own experience to.
Like you said, we're going to be sharing our own stories and there are so many facets of that along the way. And you know, there's a combined 14 years of struggle between us. That's a lot of experience, a lot of different things that we've done along the line. And like you said, there are times where it does become hard in the relationship. And certainly I experienced that as well. And so, you know, there's no holds barred really for me with this. I'm an open book. And because I feel that if there's something that I went through that can help someone else, then that's exactly why I'm here. And later on down the line, we hope to get experts on as well. And other people that have been through it to hear their stories, because again, everyone has their own perceptions and different experiences. And it's important that we shine a light on as many different people, as many different experiences as we can.
Yeah, I mean, we've talked about this as well, the fact of I'm keen of getting our audience to kind of interact with us and to ask us these questions, ask us specific questions. Like, how did you feel when this happened? How did you prepare for this? I mean, like going into fertility clinic for the first time and knowing that you're going to give your sample, like it's nerve-wracking. like yeah. really nerve-wracking. And how do you prepare for that? There's not like a little manual to tell you.
No.
You kind of have to go in and you got to do the deed, and you think you're the only one there, even though you're not, and you know you're not because you're in a fertility clinic, but or you think like no one else is going through this, when in yeah. fact there's probably 3 or 4 or 5 people in the same building doing the same thing. But you have no experience of it. So it's going to be really interesting, and I'm looking forward to like sharing our experiences around specific things like that. And that's going to be, you know, listener led.
Help the people that are in the trenches there and then, you know, and we're that metaphorical arm around the shoulder, really. And we'll try and do whatever we can to help chaps all along the way.
Yeah, I mean, I haven't kind of asked you this question, but if someone was listening now, what's the one bit of advice you'd give them?
That you're not alone, because like we've both said already, that's how we felt. And thankfully now there are others talking about it. You and I are here now doing this, and if know that you're not alone, and then you have a place to come to speak, to reach out, and yeah. and immediately that lessens the burden. I can say that 100%. As soon as you start talking to others who are going through it, because you touched upon the kind of the things that the family and friends who have no experience of it, that the stuff they can say isn't always helpful. And that's something that we'll address down the line as well. But it's that kind of almost toxic positivity, those crap stories that you get from them of, oh, my cousin twice removed, aunt, budgie, went on holiday and all this bullshit.
And relax.
Relax. But it's all a load of crap. And, you know, it's spreading the message for them as well, because this isn't just for guys that are going through it. It's for their partners. It's for family members, friends, about how they can educate themselves as to yeah. what that person's going through and what they need from you as well.
Yeah. Yeah. I think I would echo that. Finding someone to talk to that's got a similar experience, or just to listen to like this, really, really, really would have lessened my burden, as we say. Mm. It made me feel better about the situation. Me personally, what massively helped me was my exercise. And we've talked about this before, like find someone to talk to and get active. You know, being active, even if it's just going for a long walk and having time to process things. That physical activity is a real stress release. I can't stress how important it is and how much of a stress release it can be for you. So get talking to someone, find someone, or listen to us if that's how you want to kind of get that input, to know that you're not alone, because you're not. And get active, get out, get walking. You know, yeah. if you enjoy going to the gym, go to the gym. Get that nervous energy out, because that's how I used to describe it. Constant anxiety, constant nervous energy, because we've talked about the word journey, haven't we? We don't really particularly like it.
Well, fair enough. It's taken 18 minutes, but you just dropped the J-bomb.
I did earlier, but I didn't say anything. Yeah, I know you're defending it, mate. But
the thing is, I struggle to actually sometimes come up with another word. I don't know, what was it you said before?
Experience.
And I said, yeah, that sounds like you've been away canyoning for the weekend. Yeah, how was your experience of canyoning? Yeah. It didn't quite feel appropriate, but yeah, it's, you know, the journey, the J word, it's probably will come up
it's hard to, it'd be interesting to know if anyone else has got a word for it, like something they call it. I bet there's some interesting ones.
Definitely.
Oh, I hope there is. Like, I think that should be one of our missions, this series, to find a new word for the journey.
Trailblaze.
Trailblaze.
We'll have to copyright it.
Copyright it. Get it out there, all over the marketing. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know what we're going to do, but we're good. Get it on t-shirts or something. It's an incredibly tough thing, and like I said, everyone who's in it is chasing the same thing, but everyone's experience is slightly different, And I'm just really looking forward to kind of sharing our experiences and just helping as many people as we can.
Yeah.
You know, because, and this isn't just, you know, I expect the majority of people that our target audience is men, but I'm fully aware that there'd be partners and wives listening to this, wondering how they can help their husbands that are in those trenches. And, you know, we want to be the arm for them as well.
Yeah.
I mean, we plan on getting at some point during the series of getting the wives on, don't we?
To talk Absolutely.
About how, what it was like to live with us while we were going through it. Because that's something that I'm aware of, but we've never really, me and Jen have never really had that conversation. You know, at my worst, how hard was it? What would have made it easier? What did you want me to do? How, from an outsider's point of view, what could I have done earlier? Really interesting conversation that would be.
Yeah.
I mean, I expect they're going to sit and moan at us for quite a while.
They've given them a public platform to do it.
That's it. Really? Are you putting this out, boys? Yeah, right. And they'll just cut us off, mate. And chat between themselves.
Exactly, yeah.
But that being said, I I'll go into more detail, obviously, during the chat about my own story, but I generally don't think I'd be here without my wife, you know? And that's a real big statement to make.
Mm.
You know, she was there at the right time, you know, and I'll never thank her enough for that.
Yeah, I'm the same. I definitely won't let her listen to this bit. But no, I lent on her a lot. I needed her strength, and she shouldered a lot of it for me as essentially couple infertility, because I wasn't talking about it. So whenever we were discussing with other people about the fact that we were struggling, it was we. And of course, we were in it together. Like, you know, not saying it ever should have been put just on me anyway, but she was always very vague about what it was, what the reason, because she knew I wasn't ready to talk about it. So, you know, I'm forever grateful for that. And obviously now I'm in a different place, and we are the better for it as a couple as well.
Yeah. I think like me and Jen often talk about, we have friends that break up and things like that. And I think what we went through has made us so strong that now I'd never be without her and she wouldn't be without me. But you have to go through that, those trenches, you know, and I'm indebted to her. Let's put it like that. And part of it is, and I know that a lot of men feel like this, especially if it's male factor, there's a lot of guilt, of guilt as a man.
Yeah, definitely.
And if you've got a strong partner that stands next to you, it does make it so, so much easier. But we can get into that conversation, and I look forward to being grilled by them both at some point.
Yes, definitely. God, it'd be like Jeremy Paxman won't have nothing on them.
The problem is as well, they know the secret. So if I tell a story slightly different, she will butt in and be like, no, that's not.
Amazing. Holding you fully accountable.
Fully accountable, mate. Fully accountable. Yeah. But I guess that kind of brings us to an end to our like little introductory episode, isn't it? Like, the next episode is going to be about one of our stories.
Yeah.
And it will be out. So we're going to talk briefly about our structure, weren't we? What are the plans were in terms of bringing this out?
So this introductory episode will drop on the 25th of October.
That's it.
And then the first episode proper drops a week later on Wednesday, the 1st of November, which ties in with Men's Health Month.
Oh, yeah. That was the plan, wasn't it? That's the plan we came up with. And very fitting, I think. Really,
absolutely. Yeah,
it's a good place to kick it all off. And I can't wait, mate. I just can't wait to get this started. Thanks for listening. If this episode has helped you, do us a quick favor and leave us a review. You don't even have to use your real name. Every single review helps another man find this show when he needs it the most. It's honestly the best way you can help the next guy. If you have a question or something you'd like us to talk about in the mailbag, drop us an email at themalefertilitypodcast@gmail.com. We read every message. And if you'd like a little bit more guidance and support from other men on the same journey as you are, you're welcome to join our free private community at nexusoffertility.com. It's totally confidential and designed just for you by guys who get it. For the latest updates, follow us on social media at the Male Fertility Podcast. And remember, you're not alone.